There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You email through with the things you want to talk about, what you've been up to, whether or not you're bringing sweet treats. I noticed today you haven't.
I have not, no.
And I'm really upset, by the way. It's the only reason I agreed to do the show today.
It's because I knew Claire was coming in, aww, so I was like, I don't think she deserves them, so I'm just going to leave them at home.
Really? Is that what it was?
Well, to be fair, I did make a legendary banana bread on Friday, and it was gone by Sunday.
You said, yes. That was your parting shot last week.
I was making banana bread. I was going to bring it in, but no, it was gone.
Thanks a bunch.
I do apologize.
See what I did? Thanks a bunch. Anyway, no. So you're up to something super fun this weekend.
Yes.
Food.
Yes. Food related, right. Which is my favorite pastime. I mean, after tech, clearly, because that's the number one. But no, I'm going to the wonderful Taste of Abu Dhabi, and I'm going to be cooking alongside Reza Muhammad on stage, and it's going to be ridiculous because people compare me to him. And I think in some ways there are similarities, but in other ways I think I would like to think that I'm an original and not just every single person that you see out there who can cook and sort of looks and sounds like me. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm going to go down tomorrow and just have just a wonderful time.
I would pay a good deal of money to see you cooking alongside Reza Muhammad. That's really exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be good fun.
Yeah. So how did that come about?
Because a lot of sweet talking to people.
Right. Well, I was going to say, what did you have to do, Nick?
Well, no, it was just something that people kind of pitched and said, listen, we know you like food and you're coming down. I said, yes, I am coming to the show anyway. So it was just a fun little stage activity. So let's see if I burn the place down or actually cook something that he likes.
Wow. So you'd be releasing all the oils in your herbs?
I will be basting and all kinds of things.
Yeah,
but
sure
come down and see me. It's all this weekend.
Fantastic.
Rubbish Kickstarters.
This is where we start on Drive Live Talks Tech today. And I think it's fair to say Claire and I both quite like this.
I do like it.
It's just unbelievable how I can... I say this every time, how I outdo myself every week.
You do.
and I mean, not to humble brag or anything.
You pitch this well.
Yeah. I, you know what was funny about this? I love the name. The name is kind of what got to me. I was like, you know what? We need to give this some airtime. We need to give it some love.
Yeah.
So this is the Forktula. And it is basically sort of like a... Okay, so I cook, obviously. And one of the most important things you want to have when you're baking things like is a good spatula. Because you can get out all of the batter and stuff from your bowl. And you can really just scrape it down. And it's squeaky clean.
Yeah, quality so, silicone.
Yeah, a good spatula is the one. So Forktula... It's basically like a piece of plastic that you slide onto your fork, which turns one of the edges into a spatula.
Yes.
So you can use your Forktula to scrape up all of that saucy goodness from your plate.
And which one of us in this room has not wanted to finish every bit of that delicious gravy or sauce on their plate at some point?
Exactly.
Claire?
Absolutely. I remember fondly when I was younger, my dad would do a fry up on a Sunday morning. And that was the only day we were allowed to lick the plate.
That eggy, beany goodness.
Yeah, and you needed a bit of bread for mopping up.
Yeah, quite right. Michelle, are you in for a fork chiller? As it were.
Yeah, sometimes I've been tempted to tilt the plate into my open mouth in the restaurant, but that's not allowed.
It isn't allowed.
So is this why we have this?
We should. I mean, it's just genius, but it's also hilarious at the same time because you think to yourself, if you're going to be going to a really nice restaurant, rather than obviously scraping your fork against the plate, try and get every single morsel and dredge of food off of there, you have this brilliant little thing. You just kind of take it out of your pocket, slip it on when no one's looking, and you'll be wiping your plate clean.
I'm detecting that you quite like this.
Well, I don't know.
It's
I have feelings
so,
about it.
A not so rubbish Kickstarter.
It might well be that this breaks the mold.
Mind you, there have been, I think this would most come in handy for me for desserts, because dessert is one thing. I don't care where I am, I will put my cutlery down and lick my plate if I have to, because it's one of those things I will not waste dessert. It's just like if you have something that's really saucy or like ice cream is like the worst because a lot of restaurants they like to put it on a plate or something and you can't scoop up anything on a plate with ice cream. You need like other utensils to sweep everything to your spoon, so it just gets unnecessarily complicated. So I think if you've got the Forktula, mind you, you're not going to be having ice cream with a fork anyway, but if you've got something like that, it's going to be a great way to shovel more ice cream onto your spoon.
But it's a good thing because if you like a bit of sauciness, this might be the answer. So here is more.
Every day, millions of innocent people are neglected, embarrassed, and persecuted due to uncontrollable plate licking. Don't be a Peter plate licker. What you need is a Forktula. It's a spatula for your fork so you can lick your plate in public.
There's also something, because it's just been Halloween, I'm thinking Forkchula, Dracula, there's a nice tie-in. I know it's an opportunistic thing, but that kind of works. So that's what it is. It's a spatula for your fork, hence Forkchula. And it's a little piece of silicone, and it fits over two of the... What are they called? The prongs?
Prongs, I guess.
Are they called prongs? Yes.
Prongs.
There's a name for them. I know there is, and it will come to me. That's the first bit. Here's the second bit of their pitch.
This is my buddy Oliver.
And that's Josh.
We invented the Forkchula. You know, we joke about plate legging, but honestly, at the end of the day, this product's really just about having fun and making people laugh. That's why we're doing this.
I was raised in a restaurant and spent the last two decades of my life working in the food and beverage industry. While at work, not a single day goes by where I don't hear a customer say, "Wow, that was so good, I wish I could just lick my plate." So we said, lick it, design the Forkchula, and solve one of the world's smallest problems. The Forkchula is a true testament to how it's the simple things in life that give us the most pleasure. It's a simple product with a simple purpose, but it's fun. And if I could spend a few bucks to create memorable moments with family and friends, then I would. That's why we invented it.
You see, the thing with this, Nick, is usually the rubbish Kickstarters are generally quite earnest, take themselves quite seriously, and think that they're going to change the world.
Yes.
And most of the ones that you've brought in the past are nowhere near changing any part of any street, any kitchen in the world. But this is actually something where you think these two guys are not being serious about this, but they've kind of thought about it and they're having a bit of fun with it. And if it works, fine. If it doesn't, that's also fine.
Yeah, but do you think that they would actually raise any money for this and people actually would want to use the Forkchula in public?
It doesn't seem like it would cost very much to make. It's only a small bit of silicone,
right? Small bit of silicone. So, I mean, you'd expect them not to be, you know, really expensive. I'm just looking at the price. Okay, so for... 20 Canadian dollars, you get a 3-pack of Forkchulas. So it's literally nothing.
You get a 3-pack of Forkchulas. Yeah. You can keep one in your wallet when you go to
Well, it's basically to share with your friends is exactly what they say on the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
But they're looking for 10,000 Canadian dollars to make this happen. Surprisingly, 104 people have backed $2,737 so far with 22 days to go. So clearly, the Forkchula isn't as rubbish as we thought it was.
There's something in this, I think. But Dr. Carthy's just texting and points out, can't we manage the same with a spoon and a fork?
What is that? A spork, isn't it? When you have a spoon and a fork combined.
A spoon and a fork is a spork.
I've also just been reminded by a text line that the prongs and a fork actually also called a tine.
They're the tines, that's right. There is a specific
name. You're so clever, Tim.
I couldn't remember what the name was, could I? That wasn't particularly good.
I would have gone for prongs.
Yes, yeah.
All right then. So is that a yes? Michelle, do you think that's a yes? You're still switched on there. Would you go for
a Forkchula? I would not, because the cleaning aspect of it is a problem for me. Like, you're at the fancy restaurant, you're going to put this back in your bag. No.
That's a very good point, and well said. Nick, would you buy a 3-pack?
I would not, no.
All right. Claire?
Yeah, bring it on.
I want some as well.
So stocking stuff, I think.
It's a split decision. Questions for Nick, tech questions, 4001 via the free app. We've got a number of questions to get to. We're going to answer those next. Plus, we're going to be talking in specific detail about the gadget of the week and then an experiment, the comparison of Samsung Pay and Apple Pay.
Drive Live talks technology.
Yeah, we've got a few questions coming in for Nick on the text line. 4001 if you'd like to ask yours this evening. Nick, let's whiz through a couple of these. Gibran says, I backed up my old iPhone with an encryption and somehow can't recall the password. I am stupid. how do I get my data back?
Oh, dear. Sorry to hear that, Gibran. I'm assuming you've backed it up with a Mac. If so, if you go into, it's called Keychain Access, I believe, which will basically monitor all your passwords and things that you've encrypted on your Mac, go into Keychain Access, look for something like iPhone, iPhone Backup, something similar like that. If you find the result in the search panel, double click on it. There should be a box at the bottom that says Show Password. Click on that. You'll be prompted for your laptop administrator password. Type that in and fingers crossed it should show you what the password is.
Good luck, Gibran. Hopefully that works. Another one here. Last week I heard Nick talking about app developers. I need a contact and an approximate cost. That's difficult to do, isn't it, Nick? Doesn't depend on the app.
Yeah, we talked about this. Yeah, we talked about this last week with, you know, looking at the complexities of the apps and the things you want to do with it. So costs may, you know, fluctuate. But a couple of ones that you can look at is Applify or even TechUgo, TechUgo. They are like one of the two popular ones there. I will try and text back with the URL with a full list of firms available that you can liaise with for any app development.
And one more here from Abdul. I cannot connect printers from my laptop. When installing, I get an error message. I've tried a number of different HP printers without success. I've got an HP laptop too. Can you please advise on what could possibly be the issue?
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Sticking a screwdriver in it.
So Abdul, honestly, I think it's something to do with your, obviously with your laptop itself. If you've tried with different printers, it could be if you're connecting wirelessly, it could be that your wireless driver needs an update, because it does happen that certain models of HP printers don't work with certain Wi-Fi drivers. So it's always a good idea, just make sure that's up to date. If you have, you've mentioned that you've got an error message, if you can text back what that error message is, then maybe we can help you a little bit further with that. But definitely make sure that some of your networking devices are up to date so they can communicate with these printers, especially Bluetooth and Wi-Fi.
One more message here as well, Tim. Somebody else is a fan of the Forktula. Could it be offered in restaurants just like straws are, this listener says. Well, I don't know if we should be encouraging disposable Forktulas, but of course that would be a very big environmental impact if we had all of those being thrown away.
It would be, wouldn't it? But then you could set a trend in your restaurant, couldn't you? Come and enjoy our sauces. Yes. And we will offer a free Forktula. There's a marketing campaign in that somewhere.
There absolutely is. It's got legs. Or prongs.
Yeah, tines even.
Tines, got tines.
Or a lack of tines thereof. Do you know, I really thought, when you were replying to Abdul's text there, Nick, and you said, I think it's an issue with your laptop, your wife, you nearly said wife needs an update. I thought, wouldn't that be great to sort out your online issues? Anyway, so gadget of the week this week. When you came in, you threw something at me.
Yes.
And it was...
intentionally. So this is the Bang & Olufsen, the BO Play E8. They are new, truly wireless earphones. They are tiny, really lovely and tiny. Michelle is doing a quick video for us here on Facebook. And basically, out of the box, they will do 4 hours of music playback. The carrying case itself is a beautiful leather case. It is rechargeable. Mm. So once your headphones are actually depleted, you can pop them back in the case and get 2 more 4-hour charges. So that's over 12 hours or close to 12 hours of listening pleasure. They can work independently. So if you want, you can just put one of them in your ear. You can put both of them for stereo sound. And the cool thing about this is that it has a feature where if you tap the left earphone, it basically allows the outside ambient noise to come in, and you can adjust how much you want to hear from outside. So you won't, if you're listening to, if someone is trying to make a conversation with you basically, or you don't want to miss the announcements on the metro, you can tap and you'll hear a little bit of the outside noise on top of your music.
That's...
which is very cool.
That's pretty clever. Cool. That's very clever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what's the sound like?
Well, I haven't fully played around with it. I'm going to be doing it this weekend as more of a task for when I get some free time. But on sort of initial investigation, it does sound very good. You get that very impressive soundstage as expected from a Bang & Olufsen product. And, you know, it looks you know, really, really nice. It feels super lightweight and super easy to carry around. So I have high expectations for it. It is available in stores for 1,199 dirhams from leading retailers. So you can check out my review in a couple of weeks on techradar.com.
Okay, it looks like the carrying case looks like one of those little tiny travel mouse.
Yes, yeah, exactly,
devices,
exactly.
Yeah.
It does. It's so light, which is unbelievable. Unbelievable that it charges. So another 2 lots of 4 hours.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's so light.
Yeah. Very cool. No, I like it. The thing is, I mean, sound wise, we'll find out in your. But what about fit? Because I always think with these things, with the buds, aside from the fact that buds look a bit weird,
yeah.
But I think it's just something we have to get used to.
Yeah.
Is how do they fit and how well do they stay in?
Yeah. Well, in the box you have 5 sort of ear nubs, sort of sizes that you can kind of adjust. So if you have slightly,
nubs.
Well, I forget the actual word for
that
it.
That should be the word. That's good.
That's what I'm calling it. So that's basically the little silicone pads you can put on top of the earphones to make sure that they're fitting snugly in your ear. Now, there are certain in-ear headphones that have a sort of like a, almost like a hook, a plastic hook that goes inside your ear, sort of like the ridges in your ear to hold it in place.
Right.
And those are more designed for more active lifestyles, for when you're doing, you know, jogging or going to the gym and things like that. These do fit quite snugly. I'm going to try them out when, you know, I'm doing workout in the gym and going in the treadmill and basically seeing if they're going to pop out of my ear. I don't expect them to, because they do feel quite snug, but they're not, you know, super invasive. You can wear them for quite a while and they're not going to be feeling, they won't feel uncomfortable. So I'm excited to kind of see, you know, can these be my sort of go-to gym earphones? Because I use the Bose Quiet Comfort headset right now, which is great, but it's a bit big and big unwieldy to be wearing in the gym. So something small like this is easy to carry around and it'll last me for my gym session.
Okay, so while we're on the subject of gadgets, we're going to talk about Samsung versus Apple Pay in a moment, but there is a future gadget of the week. I just wanted to bring this up because this is going to be a seasonal gift, isn't
it? It is, 100%. This was something we tried out this morning. It is Lenovo's Star Wars Jedi Challenges, and it's going to be out, I think, November 15th in the UAE and in leading stores. And funnily enough, it is a lot as well. It's available for 1,199 dirhams. And what it is, it's basically an augmented reality headset. It's an accompanying app, a small lightsaber that you can hold, and sort of a tracking pod that you can put on the floor. And basically what you do, you fire up the app on your phone, you wear the headset, you fire up the lightsaber, and standing right in front of you will be Darth Vader. And you can battle him with a lightsaber. Or you'll see droids coming towards you and shooting at you, and you can deflect their shots with your lightsaber, and they'll be deflected back, and basically they die. So there's a lot of really cool things you can do with this kit. And most of all, you can play, I forgot which movie it was in, but there's one of the Star Wars movies where you could see the characters playing holo chess. And you'll be able to play holo chess with this particular kit.
Oh, it's man. In the original Star Wars, which is episode 4.
Thank you.
And they're playing chess, yes. And Chewbacca is not winning. And I think the droids say to each other, it's wise to let the Wookiee win, or something like that.
Well,
oh, no,
done,
Han Solo says to the droids, it's wise to let the Wookiee win.
You need to have an applause button on that soundboard there,
that's so impressive.
Well done.
I was looking at you thinking she's going to get this, I can tell. So that's coming out. Right, we're going to talk Samsung versus Apple Pay next. Nick Rago is here.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
Just time to get to the topics today. Nick, I want to start with you. Nick Rago is here from Tech Radar. I nearly said tea break, but it's not, is it? It's Tech Radar.
No, it's changed. It's evolved.
Yeah, I know. Tell me. So Samsung Pay versus Apple Pay. Both are available here.
Yes.
Use Samsung Pay quite a lot. Seems to work pretty well, generally. Mm-hmm. I know you use it. How did Apple do?
Well, Apple is still very, very new. It's only been released, 2 weeks or something now? So it is a bit of a teething process. We basically pitted ourselves. So I tried out Samsung Pay, and my colleague Sam did Apple Pay. Nine times out of ten, Samsung Pay was fine. No problems at all. But unfortunately, with Sam and Apple Pay, he ran into a number of issues where people, you know, they didn't know whether their terminals were supported or not, or it was supported but wasn't working, or something or the other. So I think it's just a teething process. And, you know, given time, Apple Pay will be working 100% in the UAE. But I think there's still a few bits and pieces that need to iron out before it's fully accepted.
Okay. But generally, you know, you're pretty
confident. When it worked, it worked fantastic for both platforms.
I feel like that was the same thing you told us when Samsung Pay first came in here.
Yeah.
That, you know,
and
it was down to whether they'd been trained properly and
exactly,
knew what
yeah.
they could accept.
Well, it's not just even the training, but even just because Apple, I think only Apple Pay only works in certain frequencies that certain older models of the card readers don't support. So that's kind of where there's a bit of a hit and miss, where Samsung Pay will work on almost any card reader.
Okay, so that's that. So generally, it kind of worked.
Yes.
Here is another topic for you. Is Snapchat crawling to a halt? That can't be happening, surely.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, they've got a lot of unsold, Snapchat glasses that they made, which people aren't really caring about. They don't really want to snap them up.
Right.
And even their user base is sort of stalled. So there's a number of things that are actually affecting the company. And so people don't quite know what to make of it. They have promised that a new design or some sort of upheaval at Snapchat is going to happen, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to entice people to jump on board, because people are having a lot of fun with Instagram and the Instagram stories. So maybe Snapchat has lost its shine. You never know.
It's interesting that, because my son communicates with his friends, it's exclusively Snapchat, and
yeah.
they all do it, and it's just what they do. And I always think, but the message goes. And he always says, well, I don't need it. I know what it was. It's
yeah.
fine.
Well, at a $443 million loss in third quarter,
really?
They're going to have to really come up with something.
Okay. All right, then. What about the BMW electric car, Claire? Have you got that in front of you?
I have got it in front of me,
okay,
but Nick's going to tell us about it.
yeah.
Smooth. All right, so basically a team has taken a BMW that's built from 90% recycled parts and has broken a world record for the longest distance traveled on a single battery charge. And it's basically capable of traveling 1,600 kilometers. And that is absolutely insane, because
it's
I think a Tesla can probably do a fraction of that on a single charge. And even if you're being super, super careful with the way you're accelerating and everything like that, it can come nowhere close to it. So it's a very exciting new record. The team has basically said that it's something as sort of a proof of concept to see if they could do it, and they did. Now, whether or not they're going to actually jump into the whole electric car bandwagon and you know, sell the technology to BMW or whatever remains to be seen. But it was more a thing that they wanted to see whether they could do it, and they've done it. They basically proved that, you know, these batteries can be pushed really, really far.
Because that's, you know, one of the biggest sort of pushbacks, isn't it, about accepting electric vehicles, that people don't trust the charge to last long enough, or to be caught out without a charging station nearby.
Yeah, I ran out of charge when I was driving my Tesla, and thank goodness I was at MOE, so I just stick it in and go shopping.
Mm. Yeah, see, this is the thing. But do you need a, I don't know, a thermonuclear charger to charge this BMW? What kind of charging system does it require?
Well, they haven't revealed any details about the system, because I guess they don't want other manufacturers to kind of piggyback off of that. But it is a promising start. So if they go ahead with it and they want to collaborate with Tesla or BMW or other electric car manufacturers, I think it'll be really, really good for consumers to know that these cars can not necessarily push 1,200 kilometers, but definitely get a lot more miles from each charge.
I love that it was made out of recycled parts as well.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah. I know, it's going to come whether we like it or not. Electric cars are here and they're here to stay. Would you ask your guest what his take is on Pixel 2? I saw Abbas, the boss man at Tech Radar here, tweeted a picture the other day.
Yes.
What do you think of the Pixel 2?
The camera on it is phenomenal. Honestly, it's fantastic. There are a few things with the bezels and with the headphone jack and a few bits and pieces software wise that I think needs tightening. Right. But just as a phone, the looks, the feel, the vanilla OS, everything on it just makes it a good phone. So it is something that I would recommend. Our full review is on techradar.com now if you guys want to check it out.
Okay. Let's quick fire through the last two questions we've got today. Sharji says, what would be a good stylus for the old generation iPad Air?
I definitely know that Wacom makes some specific models for older iPads and just iPads in general, so look those up. They can retail anywhere between 220 to 400 dirhams per stylus.
Steve Jobs would say your finger, wouldn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
And Omar says, hey Nick, if I develop an app and I need expert feedback from people such as yourself, how do I go about that?
Well, Omar, honestly, the best thing is to just reach out to people either, you know, via social media or emails and things like that, and ask them and say, look, I've got an app, I'd like to test it out or get some feedback and see what people say. There are certain companies that will also help profile your app with certain focus groups as well, so you can look into that. So there are a couple of avenues, but just be bold and reach out to people and see what they say.
Then that is the Tech Clinic for today, or Drive Live Talks Tech more specifically. Nick Rago is from Tech Radar. Enjoy your weekend with Reza Mohammed.
I will.
Right, congratulations. Nice to see you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.